Hello, beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, and I'm thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Oh, boy. You know, we're here every week to support a better quality of life, and that comes in an answer to a daily prayer. Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously, experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. So there you have it. That's the guiding light. And with that in mind, we just keep reaching out, and the universe provides folks to help enlighten and inspire us. Ah, we are so grateful. And, you know, before we get started, wanted to say a thank you to the sponsor of our program, AdvancedLivingComfort.com. When you go to AdvancedLivingComfort.com, you're going to discover what some folks call a Clark Kent clock with superpowers. Yes, this simple but stylish-looking clock that you might find on a nightstand or behind a desk or just somewhere near you. What's amazing, while it looks like a clock when it's plugged in, it's like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. It brings a pure, harmonized, exquisite, healing energy that not only mitigates the stress of the electric world that we live in with the Wi-Fi and the cell phones and all the wiring everywhere. It also helps raise the healing field of energy, just like when you have holy, loving people show up in your space. What a difference. So check out AdvancedLivingComfort.com. And now, oh boy, what a treat we're in for today, because you know, here we are getting into 2012. So much is going on. Well, what about someone that we could talk to that is absolutely exquisitely skilled at finding answers to things, searching the globe, going to the most sacred and holy places, and then with her amazing intuitive skills has being able to help pull in and bring to us messages that are going to help us to understand what's going on. Yeah, wouldn't that be handy if there was such a woman like that out there? Wouldn't it be interesting if her name was Patricia Corey? Well, guess what, folks? It just is so true. We actually have this wonderful woman, Patricia Corey, on our show today. And, oh, boy, are you in for a treat. She has gone all over the world, visiting the tombs of Egyptian pharaohs, Buddhist shrines in Nepal, the ancient jungle pyramids of the Mayan culture. And she's an author and metaphysician and is known as a real-life Indiana Jonesette, probably, since she's a woman, for her fearless treks to ancient sacred sites around the world. And she established this organization called Soul Quest Journeys in 1996 to lead fellow spiritual travelers through Nepal, Tibet, Asia, Mexico, Egypt, Europe, and Peru. Oh, and she's also the host of Beyond the Matrix, the show on BBS Radio, and the author of so many books. Oh, my gosh. And what is one of the more beautiful things? Of course, there's the book about the Syrian revelations, Beyond the Matrix, another book. And she's bringing us a new book today, Before We Leave You. And so we want to welcome our dear friend, Patricia. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for such a beautiful, wonderful introduction.
My pleasure. What a delight. It's not every day that we get to call forth the wonderful energy. I mean, there's people that like jet set and travel everywhere, but you not only do that, what is so magnificent is the consciousness that you bring to this. You're going to these places with a devotion, with an intention, and with an ability to connect and get information from so many different sources that is incredibly relevant. And, of course, here we are with this new book, Before We Leave You, about the cetaceans. So would you please tell us about your process for channeling both beings from higher dimensions, as in your earlier books, like the Syrian Revelations, and channeling this information from whales and dolphins in this new book, Before We Leave You? What's that experience like?
Well, you know, so many people are talking about channeling now, and it's kind of interesting to me because I've always been a channel ever since I was a child, and reporting into my mother about information I was gathering from little beings that would speak to me. Of course, many children have that experience, and they're called invisible friends, and they get talked out of it by their parents. But I've been gifted with this ability for all of my life. And what's exciting about it is that I'm not really a channel for talking to people who have passed over, but more for beings that are on higher dimensional planes. And this information was first presented in my earlier books, The Syrian Revelations, which is actually a trilogy of three different titles. And there are other books, but the most recent book that you've mentioned is the result of a process that I've gone through in the last few years, where I was contacted by the whales and dolphins in their duress and their time of leaving, and a call for help. And this call was loud and very painful for me to hear, because working with the Syrian High Council is full of joy and light, and this call was very painful. So it began as a series of calls for help. And then when I started to actually bring in the information, I was given a message for humankind about the plight of the whales and dolphins and our role and theirs in Earth ascension. And that is the book that you're speaking of, which has been out for a few months now.
Yeah.
It's quite a journey. Quite a journey.
Wow. Wow. People are becoming more and more enamored. Dolphins, there's movies about them, some of the orca movies about them, and so folks are kind of taking another view of those creatures, and then you're describing about them contacting you at the time of their beaching, or what you refer to as their suicide, which is like really scary. What are they asking of you, or asking of us as humans?
Well, yes, they describe those beaching episodes as mass suicide, and it's painful for people to hear that. But it shouldn't surprise us that another species is capable of doing that, just like elephants have graveyards. So we don't attribute other animals or mammals with the capacity to make life and death decisions about their own existence. And part of the message from the book is that we are highly conscious beings. In fact, we have a lot to teach you. And however, if there's no love here, and if there's no support for what we're going through, then we're just as happy to go, because we will be working for the human race and for planet Earth on the other side anyway. And we cannot live in a world that is so unharmonic. And then they explain about how the harmonies of the ocean have been so disrupted, and how their work as bearers of the music of the ocean is being completely disrupted. And so it's becoming harder and harder for them to stay.
Wow. Wow. That's, geez, because we're hearing about, I mean, the different things in the sounds that they make, and some of their social habits being so amazing, and how people have healings when they're around the energy of these creatures. So I'm just wondering, are you able to pinpoint some specific details about what is causing things to deteriorate to the point where these amazing, beautiful creatures or just want to die and leave this place?
Well, first of all, I want to say that it's not as dismal as it sounds, in the sense that they're not all committing suicide, but there's definitely a message that I perceive from the cetaceans that is, now is the time of Earth's evolution, and not only the human race is going through it, you need to be aware that all living beings on the planet are aware of our evolution, because we're all creatures of Gaia. We're all godly beings of planet Earth. And so you're not the only ones to know what upheaval the Earth is in. We know as well. And our role, and this is something I hope we can get into in our discussion today, our role as the weavers of music in the oceans is essential to keep the balance of the ocean. So if we're not here to weave the sound through the oceans, the planet Oceania will become, you won't imagine the fury that you'll see from the waters of planet Earth. Mm-hmm. So this is very exciting information that they describe themselves as the musicians that hold the balance of the oceans in harmony. And this is very exciting information, because earlier on in some of my earlier books, I describe the Tibetan masters as the keepers of the frequencies of the Earth, and the whales and dolphins as the keepers of the music of the ocean. So if we get beyond ourselves as being the masters of the universe here and recognize that planet Earth is a living being, and all of the creatures on this planet are living beings, and they all have consciousness, then it's not as difficult to embrace the idea that another species would have such a poignant message for us.
Hmm. Wow. That's so fascinating, Patricia, because we understand, for instance, about in a human beings, when there's a birth, when there's a baby that is conceived and is gestating inside the womb, we understand, well, that here's the mother is the host, and she is providing everything for the child. These things are clear to us. We understand this. And then somehow it seems like, well, once the child is born, that concept then goes away. Well, we've done it. We've now arrived. Rather than what I'm hearing from you is that we come from inside a womb of our mother, and then we're born into the womb of our Mother Earth, as one other birth, and then I'm sure if you discuss the possibility that we're going to have another form of birth as we leave this place and are born into another way of being. But it sure makes sense, if we think in those terms, to be more respectful of Mother Earth. So would you give a little insight there?
Well, yes, I think that's very profound what you've said, Kenneth, and yet in its simplicity, there is so much truth, and that is that we are perpetually being born and reborn, and that true consciousness, the real awareness of life and our reason for being, for existing at all, is based on our understanding of our own immortality. Once we get that all is cyclical and that we never really die, we just move to another level of being, life takes on another glow. And part of that understanding of our own immortality is understanding that all beings are immortal, so is the planet. Understanding that the planet is a conscious living being is where we get back to understanding our relationship to the Earth. So not just as occupiers of the planet or abusers of the planet,
yeah.
But
as my planet to rape and pillage as I so please.
Yeah, you know, some people say that they can't wait until aliens come and take us away so we can start anew. And I say, well, there's a problem with that theory, and that is that unless we learn our karma, we're going to go to another destination and abuse and plunder it. And we have to really understand our relationship to this magnificent planet and take charge, take responsibility now, each and every one of us, rather than wallowing in our despair over the condition of the Earth and how hopeless so many people see that it is. And so the whales and dolphins are telling us, look, it's not hopeless, there's still time, but you're going to have to take charge of your own species and understand that you are the only species that is destroying the planet. The rest of us are in harmony with the planet, but the human race doesn't seem to get it. And that's profound.
Geez, and I was wanting to blame it on the skunks because they're so stinky, but apparently I can't get away with that. All right.
Well, I think the skunks have got a great idea. It's like, don't mess with me because
yeah.
I am. You cannot mess with me. Keep your distance. And if I like you, there's no problem. But if I don't, watch out.
yes, exactly. Well, what I'm curious about in your studies, there's mention made about, and this was startling to me, the cetaceans with their brains blowing up. I mean, some of this stuff sounds really, like, very mystical.
Well, it sounds like science fiction, but it unfortunately, reality is a lot more fictional than science fiction is. And the truth is that the massive sonar blasts that are being sent through the oceans all the time, and also in military tests and the Navy has a new 5-year program where they openly state that they're going to be taking out a lot of mammals in their tests. And they are shooting the most hellacious sonar frequencies into the waters. And the cetaceans perceive this sound as it comes in. And because they have air cavities in their oral cavity and in their brain area, this sound just explodes within them and shatters their brains. Oh. So many cetaceans are being found with their brains literally blown out. And there's no question that this has to do with the noise pollution that humanity is imposing on the ocean, particularly the military, but not limited to them. Not limited to the military, because a lot of different ships use sonar. Some industrialized shipping companies use sonar for fishing. The oil platforms and oil ships use sonar for looking under the ground, even at the bottom of the ocean. So it's nonstop. And a lot of cetaceans are dying because of this. But, you know, how horrifying to think that the sonar blasts are just blowing their brains out. This is unthinkable.
Yeah. Ouch.
So this is not fiction. This is reality, and it's validated by a number of reports that are coming in and organizations that are Cetacean Watch and organizations that are studying as best they can what's going on, because you know that studying military is a delicate, to put it gently, a delicate situation for this person who wants to study.
You mean that you don't get invitations to their high-level briefings?
No, I haven't had one yet.
Oh, gosh, okay.
I haven't been invited to the table.
Well, all right, that's good to know. In case they do, please let us know, because we're curious. We know they have an intention of some form of protection, is what I'm giving credit for. But my gosh, if they're protecting us to death, I don't know who's going to be left around to protect.
Well, it's a great excuse that everything you do to the planet, to humankind, to everything that exists is with the guise of protecting us from terrorists. So if that is the reason, excuse for destroying everything that exists, then forget the protection. I don't need the protection to protect the planet. And I truly think that it's about time the human race understood that this protection is destroying everything beautiful. And as long as we impose this protection is imposed upon us, and we are led to believe that we're always unsafe, then we turn an eye at what really goes on. And that is, it's time for that to stop now.
Wow.
Who's going to protect us from the protectors?
Yeah, what's the answer to that one? I'm pretty curious about that. And I don't know if there's anything in the messages from these higher beings or from the cetaceans that help us. Because if I'm understanding, the Navy has used, and I don't know if they're still attempting to use, like, dolphins, other creatures, to plant bombs.
Yes, unfortunately, there's a recent article about the Strait of Hormuz. They've been sending dolphins in with bombs attached to them. So they're in essence, I get it. So is that, I guess that would be sort of like being a terrorist, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But our Navy is doing that, and I have to scream loud about that. And the question is, how unthinkable, how evil is it to use a being of light in that capacity and strap a bomb to them? And I also know that they're actually using mental control or mind control mechanisms on the dolphins. So that is a very interesting subject area, because if we're saying there is proof that they're using mind control on dolphins, which means that they're working with dolphins on a pretty high level of consciousness, even though it's for a negative outcome, they're still able to get into the minds of the dolphin to make them do something that is most likely against their nature, because dolphins are so intuitive and so joyous and so pure. So the rumor or the story is out that the military is actually using mind control on the dolphins and sending them into these war zones with bombs strapped up to them. That is reality.
Wow. Ooh. My gosh. So this is the latest, because I had heard from some years ago that I don't know if it was around World War II, and you probably know this better, where the dolphins had some bombs put on them, and they were apparently had magnets so that they could attach to the hulls of ships. And then after the dolphins, well, I was told, after the dolphins saw the destruction from this, they stopped doing it.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that, but I'd love to find out more about it. And that would make sense that they, because they're such amazing beings, that they refused to play the game. But now what's coming out is that they're actually being controlled. They're using mind control techniques on the dolphins that are being trained to do this. So I am a animal activist, as I think you realize by now. And I am starting a new organization called SaveEarthsOceans.org. I'm in the process now of getting the permission from the IRS to have a nonprofit organization. And I'm going to become a lot more vocal about all these issues. You know, in the danger zone of verbalizing and bringing to light what's going on, even at that level. And hopefully, this is the first announcement I've made about that, because I'm only just getting this together now. But hopefully within a few months, we will avidly and actively be doing what we can to, first of all, educate the public, because if people don't know about this, then there's very little that can be done. So I'm a big voice, and it's going to get louder, and I hope you and your readers will support us and help other organizations like Sea Shepherds, to name one, that are out there making a difference.
Wow. Wow. And what's the name of your organization going to be again?
It's SaveEarthsOceans.org. The website is still under construction, but it will be soon that people can come and see what we're doing. And a lot of it is going to be about exposing the negative and then what we can do, the positive, to change the way things are going. And we will be supporting other organizations as well. And my idea is it's time for the activists and the light workers to unite forces instead of working on our own in different faculties and different organizations, to unite more and more so that we have one voice. So that's kind of my direction at the moment with this organization, and a lot of people are asking me what they can do to help. So it's exciting, and it's a new direction of my devotion, and it's going to be a very, very busy year. One of the things I want to see end, or at least enlighten the human race about, is the use of these beings for war. That is so, so despicable that I can't stand it.
Yeah. Absolutely. One more thing added to the list of, you think, well, how low can they go? And it's like, well, we haven't hit bottom yet. My gosh. If it's alive, if it can be manipulated some way, then apparently it has potential and is some form of military or weapon. And
using mind control on a dolphin to send a bomb into a war zone—that is, you're right. That's about as low as, well, it's not really as low as you can go, considering what is being perpetrated on so many different living beings, the children, etc. But what we have to focus on is how to change it. And that's what we're here to do. You are doing with your work and your listeners, I'm sure. We're light workers, and we're here to raise the vibration.
Right. Now, some of the things that you do, would you talk some about your work with taking people to swim with the dolphins, be near whales? I don't know
if
you get their permission to do this, because, I mean, you're so respectful, and I don't know, you know, if they're just to have an open invitation or how all that works.
Well, that's a very good question, and I'm glad you brought that up. There's a growing debate. Should we leave them to their own in the oceans and not disturb them? And are these growing visits of people that are doing whale watching and swims, are they detrimental to the whales and dolphins? And there are the biologists who are absolutely adamant that human beings shouldn't be out there with them. And there are others who maybe aren't metaphysicians, but say it's great for it's great for them because they're not being killed because the locals are making enough revenue off the boat trips to stop killing and instead make money doing that. But on a more profound level, what is happening with them when we go out? And my answer to that is, first of all, as long as the boat drivers are respectful and they keep their distance and they don't push into a pod or get too close to a whale, then the whales and dolphins tell us if they want to come around. And anyone who has been out will report how the whales will come up to the boat. And not because they're getting fed or being coerced in any way by sound or whatever. They are very curious. And I believe they're celebrating the interaction. So when I go out, I've only been swimming with dolphins so far in the Azores and in the Aegean. And I jump in the water off the boat in the middle of the ocean, which took a lot of courage because this is the middle of the ocean, not just offshore.
So you're not going to be swimming to shore anytime soon.
Yeah, the first time I jumped off the boat, I was like, you are a crazy woman. But if they want to be with you, they swim up. And if they're not interested, they keep swimming. And it's not like they get acclimatized to humans coming out, at least not in the Azores. It's wild, open ocean. There are 9 islands in the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean between Canada and Europe. So this is a transitional area where quite a number of species, different species, pass. And I really believe they celebrate our being there. And I also really believe that one of the most extraordinary things that's going to happen in this time of transition is that the cetacean world, the cetacean nation, is going to open communication with the human race. Now, they're already doing it through channels like me. And as you said, all of a sudden there's all this interest in them. I believe that they are finding ways to communicate with us. So if we're out there and they come around, and I can tell you, if you've ever had this experience, your life will never be the same again. Swimming with dolphins, wild dolphins, is the ultimate state of bliss, divinity.
Mm. Wow. Wow, and so that's how does that tie in when people are having healings? I mean, obviously it feels great. Are you aware of some of the mechanisms that lead to people having these dramatic healings?
Yes. In the water with the dolphins, the first time I ever got in, 2 sentinels came up. I jumped in, and there were dolphins everywhere. But then when you're in the middle of the ocean underwater, it takes time to kind of get acclimatized that you're in their world now, and you just get very still and you wait. And 2 sentinels came up and began to echolate against my body. So they were sending frequencies up against my body to identify me. They're so finely tuned, they can tell the difference between a species of a fish by the way the sound bounces back. I was told that a dolphin could tell the difference between the different species of like salmon. They can tell the difference between different kinds of salmon by the way the echolation comes back to them. Can you imagine?
Wow.
So here's this very large fish in the middle of the ocean, and they are like, what is this? The large fish would be me. So I started to feel this sound. It was like a pinging bouncing off of me. And I know that I am a psychic, so I might have felt it more strongly than others. But others do report feeling it too. And then at a certain point, I could see that they were actually working on me because I could feel the energy flow in my body. They were actually attuning me or giving me a tune-up or somehow recalibrating my energy.
Oh.
And this is something that many, many people viscerally experience and report, whether they're psychic or not. And then there are also reports of dolphin centers where they're bringing in handicapped children or children with autism. And miraculous things are happening when these children get into the water with the dolphins. Mm. So I can understand that the dolphin would be capable of recalibrating the energy field of an autistic child to the point where he gets out of the water and he's healed.
Oh my
and
God.
This is happening. Yeah. If I had an autistic child, I would definitely go to a place where the dolphins were working with them. As much as I'm against a captive environments for dolphins, I'm a little bit tolerant, let's say, of dolphins being in an environment where they're working with autistic children.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's some very precious, sensitive beings themselves, the children with autism.
Yes, indeed.
And so, well, this is exciting that it's like getting a sonic vibrational tune-up.
But they really explain that in the book, before we leave you, how they do that, how they send sound and how they receive sound back. And they talk about something called sound before sound, which has to do with their experience of receiving the energy wave that precedes the sound. So it's all about sound. And the book is quite very musical. Have you finished reading it yet?
No, I'm in process.
Did you sense this musicality to the book itself?
The things that really jumped at me were the depth of your passion and compassion is what was really quite prominent for me. But that part of the lyrical nature of that, I'll be more attuned as I check that out with that focus of attention. So thank you for helping us to not only be able to read the book from that standpoint, but to actually hear the song of the book as we're reading it.
Yes, thank you for that. I have a friend who's an opera singer in Russia, and she said that the book is an opus and that she can hear the music while she reads it. So it would be interesting to... there are words that are used, like opus and the great maestro and whatever, and this represents the dolphin and whale's incredible musical imprint on the ocean. It's really very magical.
Yeah. Wow. Now, is there a way to find out... I don't know if you'll be leading any expeditions coming up to different places or to be with the dolphins and whales.
Well, I'm going to be in Cabo San Lucas in a very short time. On March 17th and 18th, I'm offering my DNA workshop, which I offer all over the world, in this beautiful environment of Cabo San Lucas, because the whales and the whales are feeding there in abundance. And then at the end of March, they leave and they head north for their migrations. So I'm offering my DNA activation workshop, which is very powerful. And then the day after the workshop, when we're all multidimensional, we're going to be going out with the whales and as emissaries for the human race, and just let them know that we are praying for them, we're working for them, and we celebrate their song.
Right, right.
A little different than just going out to watch them. We're going out to communicate and to make contact with them. And I probably will have another program in August in the Azores Islands. I haven't confirmed that yet.
Okay. And while I'm just here, as I frequently do, I'm in kind of a place of reverence, of asking, for something to come through me of value. And so as you're explaining this, and I'm imagining the folks down there with you in Cabo San Lucas, you know, and enjoying that. And then when you mentioned being emissaries, what became curious to me, and I don't even know, this is just the thought that popped into my mind, was, is there some way to work with, I don't know if it would be a variety of crystals or something, so that there's some way to be able to set up some form of protection so these creatures aren't getting totally destroyed by the sonar blast.
I'm certainly open to any ideas that any lightworkers have of how we can create shields for these beings. And there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of great work. But these sonar blasts are all over the planet. All these different military are using them. And then there are tests of submarines and more sonar. And what's happening is they're throwing them off of their migratory routes. And that's another reason why so many beach themselves. They just can't hear the music anymore. They're thrown off course. So, yes, we pray, we meditate, but I think we need to become more proactive and actually physical and get involved with doing everything we can to reduce this abuse of the oceans. And that's going to mean protest and activism and education and involving mass quantities of people to care enough to stand for the whales and dolphins.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in our lightwork circles who say, well, they know what's best for them, and we have to trust that they're higher beings and they know what's good. Well, I do trust, but you know, if there's something that can be improved by cracky, let's work on it.
Yeah.
You know, let's get out there and make a difference. If we become so passive that everything is in the highest order or highest good, then we have to accept that whatever difficulties are happening on planet Earth are also in the highest good. And that's true to a certain extent, but we also came here with free will, and we are also challenged to do what we can to make it a better world.
Yeah.
So I pray, I meditate, I work with light workers around the planet, and I also get out there and I scream to make changes, to scream in the allegorical sense. But I want the human voice to be heard, and that we need to unite our voice and stand for justice. And we're being tested.
Yes, truly. And to me, it's such a exciting time, because I don't know how many past civilizations we've had on the planet. I mean, we have human recorded history going back, whatever, 7,000, 8,000 years. But there may be stuff beyond that. The thing that's of interest to me is that this is the first time that I know of that we're now being given a message on a frequent basis about this oneness with our Creator that has got nothing to do with any behavior or having to be part of any particular religion or
yes,
needing a go-between of any particular kind. It's a kind of, you know, like you have going across the bridge, and then you have to deal with the trolls if you want to pass, and then we have the different religious people that are there with the idea that if you go through them, they have a closer connection to God, and so now there's this word on the planet going out through different sources saying, well, that's actually not the case. That no one has any more of a connection or less of a connection, because we're never ever separate from God. And there's
well, that and the fact that the religions are at the base of all the war.
Oh.
So yeah, if we look at religion, the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews and all the other religious belief systems, they're all at war, constantly at war. So if you really think about that, it's just, of course, we're learning more about having the direct connection to source, because we look at the old structures and all they do is war. Yeah. The Vatican is crumbling with its pedophilism and other abuses, and all these structures are simply no longer credible because they represent war and struggle and division. So a new humanity is finding either clinging to the dark side, which is also prevalent at the moment in many circles, or choosing the light and finding that extraordinary connection without any external guidance. And that is remarkable. That is a remarkable aspect of our existence at this time on the planet, and that is what's going to guide us home in every sense.
Yeah, and to me it's so very important. If we look at Martin Luther King, what he did, Gandhi, what Cesar Chavez did in terms of their nonviolent protest to be able to create social change and to have people want to be able to participate in this, for folks to embrace the idea that they're ever-living spirit and that this is just one in a series of places. They were in the mother's womb, now they're in the womb of Mother Earth. They'll be going to another dimension beyond that. And so it's sort of like not to worry about what happens to you so much here, as much as it is to honor your soul and to know that you'll always be in the grace of God. That's a very powerful place to help build people that are devoted to social change.
Yes, and that brings us back to, in a very cyclical way, the beginning of our conversation. We were talking about immortality and the wisdom and the celebration of knowing that we're immortal beings. Like you said, when you know that, whatever you're confronting, whatever difficulty you're confronting now, you know, is a passage, it's just a phase, it's school, for goodness sakes. And instead of dreading, always living in dread and fear, you embrace the idea that, well, you'll do whatever you need to do here, and then there'll be the new phase of your existence, and you'll go to that. And what we're experiencing now in this revolutionary time is the sense, as a collective, that we are indeed moving into a new dimension, a new shift, a new well-awaited change in consciousness across the board. And I believe, coming back to the book, that many other animals are also experiencing this shift. This is an important thing that I'd like to drive home. Mm-hmm. Animals are behaving very interestingly. Whales and dolphins, what I really do believe, are speaking to me and other channels. Animals are the lying together. There was this beautiful footage of this tiger, lion in Africa who found a baby antelope who had been abandoned by its mother. And she laid with this antelope for 3 weeks and cured her until finally the pride came along and killed it. But imagine a lion protecting an antelope. And this is, you know, biblical, right?
Yeah, the lion and the lamb.
Yeah, and if you've ever seen that footage, it's just remarkable how she would protect this little creature from the pride until finally she couldn't hold it up any longer. But this is an important thing, that to recognize also that we are not the only species of concern on this planet, and therefore it's very important for us to awaken to a new way of perceiving animals as perhaps not our equals, but certainly beings that are conscious, beings that are part of the revolution of this planet, and beings that are also creatures of love, creatures of source.
Yeah. I've seen a few photographs of different things. So one fella, he's got a Labrador retriever that's blind, and his cat is basically a seeing eye cat for this old Labrador.
Oh, wow.
And guides it around and makes sure it gets food and just takes care of it so it doesn't go bumping into all kinds of stuff unnecessarily. It's like, my gosh, the more of these things that people can get to see are fabulous. I've behind my house, some doves built a nest, and then I got to, originally I was concerned because I thought squirrels would come by and do bad things, and then later I discovered the squirrels were actually keeping an eye on the young doves.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. There are more and more video clips of animals acting in a loving way. There's one I just saw recently where a wolf came into someone's yard, and it was not really, really healthy, so the people took it in and started treating it as a pet. And they had a little kitten, and this wolf was just so protective of this kitten, which he could have swallowed in one bite. But he was so grateful that he had been embraced, and this little kitten keeps running around and driving him crazy in the video. And the love is so powerful. Love always is. Yeah. But it seems to me that the animals are starting to show us, hey, humans, did you forget how to love? Yeah. And there's a lot of wonder coming out of the animal kingdom at this time.
Yes. One of my fondest wishes, just from watching puppies play with each other, or kitties play with each other, that there is so much joy and caring and respect and no, that
yes.
I can see no deliberate harming of one another.
Indeed.
So
unconditional love, especially between, I'm a big advocate for animals, and I'm always showing people the beauty of them. And I'm caretaker at the moment for 3 dogs. But eventually I'd love to have a big land near the ocean where I can see dolphins swimming and I can take care of more animals. That's in my future.
Yes.
But yes, unquestionably being able to perceive and celebrate what the animals are saying. They're telling us, they're showing us, look, love is non-judgmental. And so you're seeing animals that are supposedly enemies and that would kill each other in a heartbeat, living together in harmony. And what a beautiful metaphor for what the human race has to achieve now.
Yes. Yeah, truly. Now this, to me, makes so much sense. I think we are just blessed.
Indeed. And well, so getting back to whales and dolphins,
yeah.
Let's see if in fact they're going to show us some of the wisdom that they carry and teach us how we can tune into that. I think that this is going to be part of our passage.
What kinds of things would you be sharing with us about the role that we can take, and is there other things that we haven't discussed about the perils that the Cetacean Nation is dealing with today?
Well, there's so much. I think it feels like we're almost out of time to get into any great length discussion about that. But one thing I could say is, what can people do? Oh my goodness. Start by supporting organizations that are doing good work. And there's always controversy. There's been a big controversy about PETA now, because it turns out instead of protecting animals, they euthanize them in their shelters. So study and find out about organizations that claim to be doing good work. I'm an advocate for Sea Shepherds because I believe in them. And soon I'm going to have my organization. I would love to have support from your audience. And whatever you do, whether it's financial, whether it's helping out at an office or an agency that's working for the animals, or whatever it is you want to serve, to help. The important thing is to get out of our encapsulation of the family unit and worrying about the family, and getting back to the community mentality of helping each other help the world. Only united are we going to make this change. So that's my suggestion, is to make a commitment to what it is you want to work on and get out there and take action. Do something good to make the world a better place.
Ah, okay. Now, would you tie in, because to me, the healthier people are, the more they have energy to participate in making changes on the planet. And I'm wondering if you have any comments about a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle, and anything that you can comment about in that area?
Oh, yes. I am a vegetarian for 28 years. And I have to say that I really believe that people who are vegetarians are already lighter in their existence, their way of perceiving reality. Because if you consider all that intake of animal flesh, of blood, is pretty barbaric and unnecessary to the human experience. So if we want to get rid of the bloodlust, and that is the war and the hate and the violence and the abuse, then in my opinion, perpetually, mindlessly ingesting dead animal flesh, is not the way to achieve a light body reality or a higher consciousness. I truly, truly believe that vegetarianism or vegan lifestyle, if you can manage it, is part of the path to enlightenment, definitely. And if you look at all the great masters, none of them ate meat.
No.
But I don't like to pound people with this, so I just ask them, consider that if it's light body you want to achieve, then eating the blood of animals and the insensitivity that goes with it is a hindrance. It's packaged all neato jet in the grocery store. You don't really think about it. But it's full of, besides the pain and suffering of the animal, it's full of dyes, it's full of chemicals, it's full of antibiotics, pesticides, and disease. So, and now it's going to be also, and full of growth hormone. And now it's going to be GM modified and also cloned. So but they're not going to have to tell us if the meat that you're buying is cloned. And they're also growing artificial meat in a laboratory now. All of this will be on your plate very soon. So consider a lifestyle where you don't take from another living being in that way. And in fact, on Facebook, I have just started a page called the Animal Lovers Vegetarian Cookbook Club. So I'm inviting people to share exquisite recipes and ideas for a vegetarian lifestyle. And I really think that it facilitates the journey up the spiral of life. Definitely.
Wow. Yeah. Patricia, this is so, so phenomenal how all these things intertwine and are just important pieces for people to consider. And hopefully my invitation is for folks to step back from all of the constant barrage of programming from the media about, here, you want to feel good, do this, do that, do the other thing, and ask yourself, well, they've been telling us what's good for us for a long time, and just take a look at the world. Is this really the world that is working for a lot of folks? It doesn't appear to be. And if it isn't, then maybe we should start listening to some different folks. This would be my invitation.
Well, I agree with that. The old paradigm isn't working. So the pharmaceutical company's intention is to keep people as sick as possible, so we will keep buying their chemicals. And that is why we are now seeing this Codex Alimentarius, where the natural supplements are being taken away. A few days ago, the Food and Drug Administration, dig this, announced that walnuts are a drug. And anyone that prints that walnuts are good because they have omega fats, omega 3 in them or whatever, will be prosecuted. And it's like, okay, so Prozac is okay, but walnuts are not. The world is upside down. So, yeah.
Well,
to your listeners who might be saying, well, I eat meat and I'm fine, I would just like to say this. Everything is your own choice, and nobody has any answers for any other person. But it's a great idea to just give it a shot. Give a try of eating a diet that doesn't have meat in it, and let go of the meds and try to get back in touch with what is pure on this earth. You can still grow your own gardens. You can share. I have neighbors here. I live in Italy, and we trade different plants that we grow. That's what I mean about getting back to community.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, Patricia, we've blazed through all of our time today, but I so want to thank you for being a guest and just
thank you.
Just wish you many blessings, and folks, check out her work at patriciacorey.com and to you, Patricia, to my beloved guests, and until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now. Let go.